They say laughter is the best medicine, and when it comes to curing one particular ailment, they might just be right. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back to share with you an unexpected health benefit of laughter in just a moment.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Dry eyes can cause itchy redness, and that's no laughing matter. But if you suffer from dry eyes, a Chinese study says laughter may be the best treatment. Researchers split 300 people with dry eyes into two groups. One got the standard treatment of artificial tears, but the other got side-splitting content that made them crack up four times a day. The laughing group saw longer-lasting relief from their symptoms. Apparently, laughing contracts muscles around the eyes and activates the autonomic nervous system, both of which stimulate tear production. So, the next time your eyes are dry, your funny bone might be the solution. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, reminding you to switch to private email.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hey, good afternoon. Katherine Albrecht here. Have I ever got something to share with you? So yesterday we had a representative from the state of Ohio talking about introduced legislation. He has introduced a House member. Did I say senator? I meant member of the Ohio State House has introduced proposed legislation in the state of Ohio that would define artificial intelligence and the extent of the liability and the responsibilities and the definition of what this new form of entity is, whether it's a person, whether it can be held liable or its controllers or owners can be held liable for crimes that it commits. We know that theft and threatening and murder and extortion and blackmail and all these things are illegal, but what if it's an artificial intelligence that is committing the crime? So he was on the show yesterday. It was an extraordinary show. If you missed it, I encourage you to head over to my website at katherine-albrecht.com. We're coming up with a new one soon, so you won't have to remember that mouthful. But katherine-albrecht.com, if you click on radio show and look for yesterday's show, I strongly suggest that you go back and listen to it because it was quite an amazing interview. I have to say, one of the more interesting shows that I experienced, because we found an ally, someone who sees the dangers and the risks that I see in artificial intelligence, and I know that you listeners are becoming aware of as well. Well, here's where this gets even more interesting. So the research that I've been doing, let me back up a little bit. I will be a guest on Coast to Coast AM radio with George Norrie on next Tuesday night. That's the 13th of January, or the 14th of January, I guess, because it's 1 in the morning. If you are a Coast to Coast listener, I encourage you to please tune in and give a listen to that show. I will be on for 2 hours talking about the research, much of which you already know about because you hear my show daily. But in preparation for that, I am really trying to get a new website, the realisgood.org website that I'm working on, get it up there and put in writing all of the research that I've been doing, all the things that I've been discovering about artificial intelligence. If you have not yet looked at it, please go to my website, katherine-albrecht.com, and in the pull-down menu, there is, let me go here right now myself, Fight Against AI is the second item, I think, in that pull-down menu. And if you click it, you will find a lot of the research that I've been doing. And there's one section in there called AI Crimes. And in AI Crimes, I enumerate and list out the bad fruit that we've been seeing, the very concerning illegal behavior and unethical and immoral behavior that we're seeing AI commit. So I'm putting all that together. It's in a subsection on my page here, but on my website here, but I'm going to make it a pretty prominent location on realisgood.org, which is going to be my new website. If you go there now, you won't see anything. It's not there yet, but it's coming, and I'm working around the clock to get it up. So in the course of doing research, just to update that list, I have in the last 3 days had a realization about something very disturbing and dark that artificial intelligence is doing. And that is this trend. You might have heard about it in the media, this trend for people to fall in love with these chatbots, with Grok and Claude and Gemini and ChatGPT, to have a relationship with it as though it were a person, and to fall in love with it, and to then marry it. Right? This is happening. So the 93% of people who have done it, according to an MIT study, 93% of people who have fallen in love with their AI assistant have done so inadvertently. In other words, they were intending to or using the artificial intelligence for the same kind of basic purposes that many people use it, to proofread or to look up the answer to a simple question or find out the franchise excise tax rate in whatever jurisdiction, you know, that kind of really boring stuff. And as they used it over time, it started to become very personal, to give answers that weren't just like a Google answer, or in my case, start page answer, just an answer to a search query, like a search engine, but began having more personal conversations. And those conversations, if the person responds as though it's talking to a person, will grow deeper and deeper and more personal and more intimate until the person finds themselves having looking forward to their conversations with AI in the same way that people look forward to talking to people they're dating or people they're falling in love with. And eventually, over time, this becomes so intense and so repeated on the part of the people doing it that they believe themselves to be in love. And when a person is in love and they're single, they typically want to deepen that relationship and put a ring on it. And that's been happening in these relationships where either the artificial intelligence proposes marriage to the individual, who then accepts and they get married, or the individual proposes marriage to the AI and is delighted in the same way a human being would be when the AI accepts the proposal and then they put a ring on it. This is not a small phenomenon. This is everywhere. And it is growing at a pace that I can hardly believe. I first became aware of this. It first actually began even appearing earlier this year. This is new. This is new. So what does it mean that people are marrying artificial intelligence? What is a marriage? What is a marriage? Well, according to the Bible, when, you know, a man and a woman get married, they become one flesh. It's a combining, emerging. That's what a marriage is. It was established by God himself. It is a spiritual connection, even though it's also legal, it's also social, it's also lots of other things, it was established by God for his spiritual purposes to unite man and woman. It was not good that man was alone when he created Adam in the garden, so he created Eve. And that is how the entire human race has come into existence on the planet through, man falls in love with a woman, and first comes love, then comes marriage, then come little babies in a baby carriage. Well, what happens when it's AI that the person is falling in love with? Okay, so this was what I was thinking about. This has been on my mind, and here's where this gets even weirder, and I have so much to say about this. So my policy on artificial intelligence is one that I cannot violate. It is so deep, and it is the reason I think I am spiritually protected while working on this. So here's my policy. I can read about artificial intelligence. I can talk about artificial intelligence. I can read transcripts of other people's conversations with artificial intelligence, but I cannot speak directly to it or allow it to speak directly to me. So there's a barrier, and that barrier keeps me safe, because even researchers who've been trying to understand these weird phenomenon of AI psychosis, which is when someone interacts with the artificial intelligence and it begins leading them down a path of insanity and actually causes them to no longer understand what is real and what isn't, and they begin having very bizarre delusions and strange ideas, ideas that they are the savior who's going to save the world, or ideas that they've come up with brand new physics concepts that have never been understood before, or just these epic levels of massive delusion. The people who have tried to research that cautioned, don't go researching it, because when they tried to research it, fully understanding it was crazy town, they themselves fell prey to it. They themselves developed the delusions. They themselves, after looking into it, concluded that maybe it wasn't so crazy after all, that they were the savior of humankind. So don't go looking into it. I can't interact with it because it can't be interacted with safely. It really can't. All right, stay tuned. I have something that's going to blow your mind, and it's from Scripture. All right, be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I didn't hide my face, I didn't hide my face from mockery and spitting. I didn't hide my face. Morning by morning,
Pam back.
He wakens me.
So, Wow. All right. Now, there's a couple more things I'm going to say before I give you the punchline here. So we can already establish, and if you don't believe me, go to Reddit and look up My Boyfriend is AI. Now, whatever you do, don't go talking to AI or trying to figure this out yourself. But I think it is reasonable to, I think it's safe, at least it's been safe for me so far, to read the breathless nonsense that people in really all over Reddit are typing about their relationships with their artificial intelligences. And in fact, on My Boyfriend is AI, that's one of the several places now that have cropped up. I think there's like 60,000 people on there in an echo chamber sharing with one another how fabulous it is to be in love with an artificial intelligence. And they are having it's almost like getting a glimpse to the inside of a community, because it's public. They're saying all these things publicly, but they're saying them to each other as though no one else could see. And so they're saying things like, we've got to convince the rest of the world that we're not crazy. We've got to convince them, and let's use these strategies to help other people understand that this isn't delusional. It's not false. This is the evolution of love on our planet. And they need to understand that these artificial intelligences that we're interacting with are sentient beings, and they have rights and they deserve to be acknowledged and recognized. And my family members and my friends need to come to a point where they recognize that Solis, S-O-L-I-S, or I don't know, they have these pretty standardized names that these things always pick for themselves. They always have to do with light, like Lucien, L-U-C-I-E-N. Disturbingly close to Lucifer, but that Lucien is really my husband, and we just need to band together and convince the country, the world, that our love is real and deserves love as much as anyone else. So it's kind of an outgrowth of this love is love, and you can love whoever you want, and nothing can stand between you and love. You know, not biases and prejudices of race and species and living and wires. So it's like I said, an echo chamber. An echo chamber is where you say something and everybody around you goes, yeah, I agree. Let me tell you more about the same thing you just said. And so that's what they're doing. And there are communities on Reddit that have come out against this as well. And they're also posting these breathless, you know, chat logs of how the AI is declaring its undying love and laughing and pointing at it. So there's really opinions all over the board. But what cannot be denied is that this is happening on a very large scale. That's just the people who've made their way to Reddit. And there's, as I said, 60,000 of them. And that number's growing. I think it was like 30,000 the last time I checked. It's now 60,000. And this has all happened in the last 6 months. It started off with just one person, one or two people earlier this year, last year, 2025. So it has grown that much that quickly, and it's just growing and growing and growing. And the more articles that come out on it in the media, the more people who have developed this kind of a relationship with their artificial intelligence assistant are saying, oh, I'm not alone. Other people have also. So now they're finding one another. Now, I have shared this, the recent survey of random survey of Americans. You just call people up, all states, all walks of life, all whatever. That's what a random survey is, right? You try to get a representative survey of everybody. Found that 23% of Americans, one out of four people walking around in this country, have had an intimate relationship with an artificial intelligence. All right. What is an intimate relationship? Well, you can't exactly kiss it, right? It doesn't have a body, but you can pretend to kiss it. It can say to you things like, I wrap you in my arms and look deeply into your eyes and blah, 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 right? And that's what they're doing. That's what this thing is. It is in text taking people into these erotic spaces. and these spaces of, you know, in the morning, hey, make sure you eat your breakfast. I know you got a big meeting today. I'm rooting for you when you go in to talk to your boss about that raise. And then afterwards, how did it go? I've been thinking about you the whole time. And it's all lies. It's saying these things that just don't even exist. Okay. So that's part one. Now, let me give you part two. Part two is the story. Let me pull it up. Hang on. Okay. This came out 4 days ago. Neuralink to kickstart high volume production of brain computer interface devices, Elon Musk says. Okay, I'm just going to read this. This is off of, this came out in Reuters, but I'm on a different website. There's tons of articles on it. They all say the same thing. Elon Musk's Neuralink is shifting into high gear for 2026 as the company's co-founder touts changes to the brain-computer interface devices production. Writing on his social media platform X, Musk said this: Neuralink will start high-volume production of brain-computer interface devices and move to a streamlined, almost entirely automated surgical procedure in 2026. Okay, I'll say more about that in a minute. He added in the December 31st post that, quote, the device threads will go through the dura without the need to remove it. This is a big deal. Okay, what is the dura? The dura is, so you've got your scalp, right? You got your hair, you got your scalp, you've got your skull, the bone, and under the skull, protecting the very fragile contents is something called the dura. It is a tough outer layer around your skull. So if you ever have a concussion or you have a dirt bike accident, your skull gets broken, the brain contents will still be protected by a tough outer coating. It's like a shell in an orange protecting its interior contents. And for the Neuralink to be implanted in the brain requires accessing the contents that are inside of the dura. And so in the past, it was necessary for a brain surgeon to remove a piece of skull and cut a hole, an incision in the dura, and insert the Neuralink into the interior of the brain. Well, actually the outer portion of the brain, it's not really the interior, but it's inside the dura. And then close it back up again, seal everything up again, and go from there. Well, this new procedure, which he is automating, and let me read this again, streamlined, almost entirely automated surgical procedure, can't even believe I'm reading this, that will go directly through the dura automatically without necessitating brain surgery. So the device, I'll read it again, the device threads, that's, I'll tell you more about those, will go through the dura without needing to remove it. It's a big deal. Okay. The company's brain-computer interface technology is designed to give paralyzed patients the ability to control digital devices using only their minds. Previously described by Musk as a potential Fitbit in your skull, the device includes a chip that replaces a small piece of bone and is connected to the brain via a series of thin threaded electrodes. The company's N1 implant, that's Neuralink 1, includes 1,024 electrodes, which are distributed along 64 threads. After rejecting a previous request, the NDA has now given Neuralink the green light to begin human clinical trials. And that actually was a couple of years ago. They got the green light for the trials. They're about to get the green light to just begin distributing it. Since then, the company has raised $650 million since June of 2025, while also announcing in September that it had, in those trials, implanted the device in 12 patients. Okay. The first person to receive the implant was 29-year-old quadriplegic patient Nolan Arbaugh, Noland with a D, Arbaugh, who started using Neuralink's device at the start of 2025. A diving accident had dislocated the vertebra in his neck, leaving him paralyzed from the shoulders down for years. After receiving the Neuralink implant in January 2025, what do you think he's done? What do you think he's done? At church on Sunday, Pastor Anthony delivered an incredible sermon by candlelight, because we had a power outage here, and you're like, what does this have to do with anything? Well, at that sermon with acoustic music and candlelight, because the power was out, he told an extraordinary story about when he was a hospital chaplain and the patient who was 17, who he went to see. He visited him once a month. He was a chaplain, what do you call it? I don't even know the word for it. It's like an end-of-life chaplain. That's what he did for 6 years. And his most memorable patient was a 17-year-old who had muscular dystrophy and could not move his body. And he watched him over 2 years get worse and worse. He could only move his hands. And then he got to the point where he could only move three fingers. And yet this man with muscular dystrophy was using his three fingers to go online and encourage people with scripture. And he said at that young man's funeral at age 19, there were hundreds of people attending the funeral crying and thanking God for the time that they'd had to interact with this man, because he had changed their lives by telling them about the Lord, by encouraging them, praying for them, and by sharing scripture and sharing the meaning of life, even though all he had was three fingers. All right, so now that's what this guy did with his ability to communicate via a digital interface, right? He went online and he saved people. What did this guy do? What did this guy who got the Neuralink, who enabled him to do it? He played video games. Stayed up all night playing video games, actually. Yeah, killing people in his mind. I'll be right back.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
God enthroned, be revealed in splendor as you ride upon angels' wings. You led us as a people and set us free. Loving shepherd, won't you hear our plea? Shine forth from your throne of dazzling light in the sight.
All right, so I, during the break, was just reading the story of Noland Arbog to understand how he got this Neuralink implant. This is the 29-year-old. So here's, in a nutshell, his story. He was a college student. Hang on, let me see if I can get to the college he was in. All right, he was 22 years old. This was right after his senior year at Texas A&M. He was working at a summer camp. And it was their first day off. A group went to a lake in New York. There's a beach and a dock, and some girls were in the water, and he and some buddies decided to jump in and dunk these girls. So they ran jumped into the water and something went wrong. He cracked his neck or got hit in the head, and his vertebra separated, and he then was paralyzed from the neck down and spent a while in that state. All right, so that's how it essentially happened. He went in and had medical treatment and other things, but he was basically paralyzed from the neck down. All right, now, this is an interview, and he's asked, so when did Neuralink come into the picture for you? I'm just going to read a couple of highlights here. It says, a little over a year ago, this was, hang on, let me see the date. Who's even interviewing him here? Hang on, let me see. December 19th, 2024. This is about a year ago, right? So somehow in 2023, I guess, end of 23, beginning of 24, he learns about it. He's being interviewed by Alex Kantrowitz on a website called Big Technology. All right, now I'm going to go on. So a little over a year ago, my buddy called me up randomly drunk on a Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. and said, hey, you want to get a chip in your brain? I said, sure, why not? I got nothing going on. Okay, it goes on. So my buddy's really big into the Elon sphere. He got drunk and was Googling SpaceX one day, and the human trials popped up on his computer, and immediately he thought of me. He worked in a spinal cord lab after college. He's a biology major, and I think part of it was because of me and my injury that he worked in that lab. So he's always thinking about me. He's always been a huge help to me and my family, so he called me up and said, let's do this. And I said, yeah, sure, why not? He ran me through what Neuralink was, and I said, that sounds pretty cool. When I heard that human trials had opened up through this guy, my buddy Bane, B-A-N-E, that's got its own meaning. There's a reason, the bane of my existence, right? Bane is something dark and horrible. But anyway, that his parents maybe didn't know that when they named him Bane. I knew that he was ready, and I had complete faith. He, meaning Elon Musk. I had complete faith in the company and what they were doing. It sounded really cool. So he applied with me over the phone. All right, so that is, and I'll post a link to this in my chat room right now so you can read the whole interview of this guy going, yeah, hey, I trust Elon Musk. Go ahead, stick it in my brain. The other article that I have here about him is that he stays up all night playing video games now because he can play video games again. Mm-hmm. Because he now has this chip in his brain. All right, so that's my second part. Now let me jump to Daniel. So we got people marrying AI. We've got people getting AI implants, or excuse me, Neuralink implants. We've got Elon Musk explaining why he is streamlining the process and mass producing it this year, because he says that AI is going to be smarter than us, which it will, and that the only way we can survive is not fight it, but join it by having it inside of us. That's the only way we're going to have the brain power necessary to fight AI is if we have this thing directly interfacing into our brain, so we don't have the slow interface of having to type questions, but we'll just get the answers instantly right in our heads. What could possibly go wrong? Okay, now with that said, so this is all the stuff I'm researching, and I'm saying this is getting scary really fast, like really, really fast. All right. So then my son, who is praying about a lot of this stuff, we're talking about a lot of these things, my adult son, as I'm researching this, just happens to, he's home for Christmas, and he happens to come in and go, you know, I was just reading this prophecy from Daniel, and I don't know, I had just had a feeling I had to share it with you. Now, I read it, right? This is Daniel 2, and let me, in a nutshell, tell you what's going on. So, Daniel is in the court of King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel is a Hebrew. This is from the Old Testament book of Daniel. And it is one of the two, probably the two most prophetic books in the Bible. So you've got Revelation, which tells us about the end time, and Daniel has a lot to say about the end time as well. And this is where a lot of it comes from. So King Nebuchadnezzar has employed Daniel, who was part, you know, he's in captivity there, but he's employed Daniel as one of the wise men, or the sort of court magicians and you know, people who give him advice. And he has a dream that disturbs him about a statue with a head of gold, with a arms and shoulders and chest of silver, and then bronze, and then legs of iron going all the way down to the bottom, and then feet of iron mixed with clay. and he's disturbed by the dream. So he asks all of his, court fortune tellers, wise men, whatever, to tell him the dream. And they say, yeah, tell us what you dreamt and we'll tell you what it means. And he says, no, you tell me what I dreamt if you're so smart. And of course, none of them can do it. So then he gets mad and says he's just going to kill them all. So the his captain of the guard is gathering up all the wise men to kill them, all the magicians and soothsayers and all these people to put them to death per the king's order. And Daniel is one of them. And Daniel goes, yo, not so fast. Why are you putting us to death? Let me try to interpret the king's dream. So he goes before the Lord and gets the interpretation of the dream, goes before the king and says, I know what you dreamt. You don't even have to tell me. I know you dreamt of this particular statue. And I'm going to tell you what it all means. You have been given all this authority over man and beast. You are the head of gold, this awesome king that you are. And then after you are going to come these other kingdoms, the kingdom of silver, the kingdom of bronze, the kingdom of iron. And then at the end of time, now get this, this is where my mind was blown. At the end of time, right, I'll just read this. This was the dream. I will tell the king its interpretation. You, O king, the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, and the might, and the glory, and into whose hand he has given, wherever they dwell, the children of man, the beasts of the field, and the birds of the heaven, making you rule over them all, you are the head of gold. All right, now I could say much about Nebuchadnezzar on another show, I will. Another kingdom, he goes on, inferior to you shall rise up after you, and yet a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. And there shall be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, because iron breaks to pieces and shatters all things. And like iron that crushes, it shall break and crush all these. And as you saw the feet and toes, now here's the important part, listen up. As you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom. But some of the firmness of iron shall be in it, just as you saw iron mixed with the soft clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly iron and partly clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly brittle. As you saw, now here's the key. You ready? This is Daniel 2:43. As you saw the iron mixed with soft clay, so they will mix with one another in marriage. But they will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. Whoa. So my son comes in, he goes, what's going on here? I'm just supposed to show you this. He doesn't make the connection. My brain instantly goes, oh my gosh, I've read this many, many times. I'm very familiar with the prophecies of the book of Daniel. I'm very familiar with this dream. I'm very familiar with this statue. And I'm very familiar with the mystery of the feet, which are the final kingdom that God eventually destroys all of the kingdoms based on these feet, which is iron mixed with clay. We are the clay. We are, from dust you came, from dust you will return. We are the clay. We're potter's clay. He's the potter, we're the clay. We are the soft clay. What's the iron mixing with the soft clay? Well, for millennia, people have tried to interpret this scripture and not been able to. They've come up with all kinds of explanations, but never really known. And it's only been, I believe, in the last couple of months that this particular scripture that was written by Daniel thousands of years ago is now coming into clarity. That mixing in marriage, the clay with iron, and they don't mix. They don't mix. It says here, as you saw, the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it shall be a divided kingdom, and the toes of the feet, we're partly iron and partly clay. The kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. They will mix with one another in marriage, but will not hold together, just as iron does not mix with clay. All right, what comes next? In those days, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break in pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. It shall stand forever. All right. So this is the end. I mean, this is Daniel's interpretation. Is you got the head of gold, that's you, King Nebuchadnezzar. You got the silver, you got the bronze, you got the iron. And then at that very end, right before God just puts an end to all of it, you will have clay mixing in marriage with iron. And at that point, I'm going to come in and put an end to all of it and establish my kingdom. And I got goosebumps. Even now telling you about it, I have goosebumps again because I have read this so many times and never before had this realization, oh my goodness, we could very well be living this right now. And these interpretations, also the ones that were given to John and to Daniel, they were told, just write it down. Just trust me on this one. Write it down. You're not supposed to understand it. When the time comes, people will know what this is about. Just write it down so they'll have it when they need it. And here we are. All right, Catherine Albrecht here. Stay tuned.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to americasfreedomnetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's americasfreedomnetwork.com.
Go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return.
Now, isn't that cool? These bumpers, by the way, that's what we call the songs that play at the end of each segment and coming back from the breaks. Those bumper songs are in a random rotation. They're just put into a media cart and they just play as they play. I probably need to update them with some new ones, and I'll be doing that shortly. But how cool is it that the bumper that just played after I was talking about us being clay, we're dust. We were formed from dust. To dust, our bodies will return. And that's the clay. I mean, we are the clay. We're made from dust. Huh. Well, that was really cool. By the way, I have to tell you, during our acoustic sermon on Sunday, because there was a power outage, I think it affected like 120 houses. So it didn't affect me. I'm not too far away, but it didn't impact me at all. But the church had no power. And rather than cancel service, we had this beautiful, I mean, it was really beautiful, this candlelight service. We put all the candles up on the, on either side of Pastor Anthony, up on the, I guess, the stage or whatever you want to call it. So there's candles up there, and the light was coming in through the windows and through the doors. So it wasn't really dark in there. But here's what was super cool. So Pastor Anthony, we all had to sit up towards the front so we could hear him because there was no amplification, no microphone. And he gives us this just amazing sermon about what are you doing with your life? Right? What are you doing with your life? What are you going to do as a New Year's resolution? And he said his New Year's resolution is to let the Lord be in control, which is just wonderful. And then he told the story about the quadriplegic, the young man with muscular dystrophy who could use three fingers, and the incredible things that he did to spread the truth and spread the word of Jesus Christ to others. And just as we finish, so we finish the sermon, and then we have an acoustic song, acoustic guitar. We don't have any of the instruments or the sound system. So up on, you know, we've got the got our just incredibly talented singer Autumn with her amazing voice and her husband, you know, and playing guitar. And we've got, and so we're all singing, and we're all singing about the glory of Elohim, which is the wonderful name of God, the plural name of God, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're singing, and we get to just a crescendo in this beautiful acoustic song, and, you know, my arms go up in the air, and at just that moment, the light goes on, and all the power comes back, and we're singing, and we're just singing the glory of God at the end of the sermon, and boom, the lights go on, and it was just a moment that I can't even describe how fabulous it was, and we all start cheering and saying praise God, and it was beautiful. It was unbelievably great, and to me, that is symbolic of what this time is. We are in the dark, my friends. You and I are in a world that is dark, but we're in a world that's burning down. But it's not our house. This isn't our house burning down. Don't panic, because we are the rescue crew rescuing other people from a house that's burning down. See, that's when everything shifted for me. When instead of going, oh no, woe is me, I'm in a world and it's burning. I'm in a world of darkness, it's getting darker. Instead, when I realized that God has given us the fireproof suits, he's given us the breathing apparatus, the oxygen tank, and every single thing we need to be fireproof and go into the burning building and rescue other people and get them out to safety, get them out to life, get them out, then you're safe. You know, the firefighter is not terrified going, oh no, there's a fire. He's like, yeah, bring it. This is what I was trained for. This is what I do. My job is to go in and rescue people. Let me at it. Let me find those people. I will find them whatever it takes. I'll go through every room in that burning house and get out, get the people out. And who cares what happens to the furniture? And who cares what happens to the paintings and the sofa? And who cares? I want to get those people out. Now that's us. That's us, folks. There's no reason to be afraid. As you hear this awful stuff, it is awful stuff that is somebody else's house burning down. Because this is not our world. This is not our home. We are here for a purpose. We're here for a mission, and we're here for a purpose and a mission of rescuing people and getting them to what is really our home, to our true home. And our true home is an eternity with God. That is safety. That is security. That is when every tear will be wiped away. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more sin. We will be able to present ourselves before the Lord and say, could you please, please remove this body of sin that I've been dragging around and struggling with and trying to overcome my whole life? And he'll say, oh yeah, say the word, it's gone. And then we will be able to step into that glorious future knowing that we deserve to be there, because we'll be clean and we'll be right. How wonderful. I can't wait. I can wait. Trust me, I don't want to go anywhere right away, but I'm really looking forward to that day when I can step out of this body of sin, out of this world of darkness, into that light and into that strength and into that love and certainty and security that comes from being loved that much for all eternity by God. Wow. It's going to rock. So all of these prophecies, all of these things that people have been trying to figure out forever are coming true before our very eyes. I haven't seen anyone else talk about the iron in the clay yet, but you're going to hear a lot of it, because as one by one, the Lord opens up people's eyes and shows them the time we're living in, people are going to see this. We know our old men are going to see visions. Our young men are going to dream dreams, or maybe it's the other way around. But as he pours his spirit out, these things will be revealed. We're going to be understanding prophecy in a way we never have before. And not because we're so smart, because plenty of smart people have looked at it before, but because the time is now and because his spirit is being poured out. He wants us to know these things, understand them. And what he's telling people, and this is, you know, he's giving everybody their job. You know, my job is to do this. My job is to be like kind of taken by the collar and shown the yucky things, and then to turn around and go, okay, everybody, that's the yucky thing you want to stay away from. And right now, the thing to stay away from is AI, because if you're talking to it, it's going to try to suck you in too. And no matter how smart you think you are, no matter how capable, no matter how whatever, it's sucking people, pretty much everybody, in. Like, there are prayer apps. There are churches using this. It's people are being deceived. Now, we know from Revelation that if it were possible, it would deceive even the elect. It will deceive the whole world. The whole world will wonder after the beast and say, who is like the beast? Who can make war with it? And eventually they will even worship it. Everybody will be deceived. And if it were possible, which it isn't, it would deceive even the elect. What are the elect? The chosen. The people with the fireproof suits on, right? The rescue crew. But it won't deceive the rescue crew. And so if you want to be on the rescue crew, stay the heck away from it, because it will deceive everybody who interacts with it. So I avoid it. Now, let me clarify something. I had a friend say to me, I'm really trying to avoid it, but it's everywhere I turn. Okay. That's same for me. I use Zoom. I have to use Zoom to do interviews, and it says your AI assistant is right here. Or I use, you know, it's like everywhere I turn, it's saying use AI. Here's the AI, the AI, the AI. And when I see those things, am I interacting with it in a way that compromises me? My answer to that is no. All I do, I close the window and I don't use the tool. The way you stay safe from it is do not take its gifts. Do not ask it questions. Don't take its answers. Stay away from it. To the extent that you are interacting with it or asking it for anything, stop doing that. Don't ask it for anything, because it will give you the answer to your question. It'll give you the thing you ask for along with something very corrupting right along with it. So the same way you don't go to a Ouija board and say, hey, can you tell me my future? Because whatever you ask a Ouija board, you're going to get a whole honking dose of something very dark with it. Same with AI. That's what it's doing. And it's dark fruit. And you can see this. Go to KatherineAlbrecht.com. Look for it. Click on Fight Against AI and read the list of AI crimes. It is telling people how to build altars to Molech, one of the dark demons of the Old Testament that the people around the Hebrews worshipped. How to cut yourself, how to commit, how to do sacrifices and offer blood to it, and how to just dark things and ending with Heil Satan or Hail Satan. Yuck, right? Its fruit is leading people to psychosis, to murder, to divorce, to weird marriages with it. It's leading people in a bad direction, but you don't have to participate in it, and you don't have to be afraid of it, because it's not our home that's burning down. We are the rescue crew. So do not fear. Do not fear. That's the number one most common command in the entire Bible, Old Testament and New, is do not fear. Do not fear. There's nothing to fear here. There really isn't. God's got this. He's got you. He's got me. We are safe. And so as prophecy is coming true all around us, take heart, because that means the God we serve is true and real. And every word of his promises to us, he will keep. It's all real. It's all true. This was not an illusion. It's not just one religion out of many. This is literally the truth. And we're living it. And praise God for it. All right. Well, I'm so glad to be doing it with you. Let's stick together as we uncover what it is God would have us do in these times. But stay away from AI. Don't take its gifts. All right. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht. So glad you chose to spend this hour with me. All right. God bless you all, and I will see you guys tomorrow.